Jesus encourages disciples to invest their hearts and live fully in God's reign instead of facing life with fear. Those who know God's generosity are always ready to receive from God and to give to others. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves from whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who gives us God's dream, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be prepared, Jesus says. But what are we to be prepared for? What are you prepared for? There's no shortage of answers from our world today on preparedness. For instance, doomsdayers tell us to stock up our shelves for the coming apocalypse. With the recent end of the nuclear treaty with Russia, it seems even more urgent this day. Financial economists and experts say we're on the verge of another economic recession. With global trade wars and the U.S. financial institutions traveling the same dangerous path that they did prior to 2009, collapse surely is imminent. Technology advancements, we've got to have those. With the next smart device that you can't live without, and I don't even know what to tell you that is because, well, they change so frequently and I'm just not interested. Even inside the church, a message we hear from some Christians is that you could die at any moment, so you need to be more religious and get right with God so that you don't go to that fiery place they call hell. I want to be clear or just flat out say, none of these things, these four that I just listed, is what Jesus is talking about in our text today. And for that matter, the Bible doesn't either. So what is it that Jesus is asking us to be prepared for? First, let us begin with exploring what Jesus isn't telling us to be prepared for. Verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." As I preached in my sermon last week, our security is not in stuff or acquiring more stuff. Our security is in the one that gives us everything we need and has claimed each and every life as beloved for all of eternity. We need not be burdened by fear because God promises to take care of us. More so than the beautifully dressed lilies of the field, more so than the fed birds of the air. God promises to have our back. And still more, God takes pleasure. Did you catch that? God takes pleasure in giving us God's very own kingdom. So we don't have to worry about justifying our actions to win over God's favor. God has favored us long before we've even contemplated or attempting to do good or to do right. We don't need to worry about getting into heaven or that second coming. God has already given eternal life. This is what the message of grace is about. This grace is free. God's love is free. We can't do anything, absolutely nothing, to earn it. God wants all to live in the kingdom. Now, this isn't a kingdom or dominion of a monarchy that we might think of or know today. It isn't a royal palace with God sitting on a high up throne, sending down lightning bolts of judgment upon humankind. Kingdom, God's kingdom that is better understood as dream. Jesus desires us to have to live into God's dream. A dream that is for all of humanity. It is God's will for all to know, to experience God's own unconditional love. This is where God's dreams begins. And it ends with us sharing that love with each other. God's kingdom, God's dream, begins with divine love for all. And it ends with the same kind of love being shared by all. So then in our passage, it's not that big of a jump in the next verse when Jesus says, "Sell your possessions and give alms." Notice it's not Matthew's version where it says, "Sell all your possessions," though Jesus will say this in a little bit later in Luke. But here we can take comfort in something that's a little more tangible in selling our possessions. But we need to dig deeper into that word even, because the Greek word here at the root, that is the original language the New Testament was written in, the word for sell isn't quite what it appears. It isn't about having an estate sale or posting our possessions on the web to get cash in order that we might give it away to charity or to those in need. Here, the word sell implies a trading or a bartering of one's goods. Sell implies trading or bartering of one's goods. Something that we in a first world country don't know much about. But bartering requires an exchange of goods, an exchange of services. It's a mutual sharing of one's talents, one's possessions, that builds up a community that cares for itself. Likewise, the Greek word for alms denotes the creation of a connection between parties. Literally, at its root, it means we're linked at the gut with another. Deeply knowing what the other is going through and sharing in it. This understanding moves us beyond feelings of sympathy or solidarity. That's part of it, yes. But it also involves action. Giving of oneself for the sake of the needs of another. Jesus here is telling us to be ready to receive the kingdom through sharing life with others. In the end, this text isn't about justification and being ready to make sure we please God in the right way in order to earn God's favor. This text is about vocation. Vocation, you know, that thing you do that was given to you to do in the way that you do it for the benefit of those you are doing it for. You got that, right? Repeat it back to me. So simply, vocation. What is vocation? Vocation is what God calls you to do. Vocation is what God calls you to do with gifts and talents God has given you, to which you commit your passion and excitement and energy for the sake of God's dream. God's calling for you, equipping you with gifts and talents to do so, in which you commit passion, excitement, and energy, all for God's dream. It's our life of faith, and it's a reflection of God's love experienced in our own lives. And since we don't have to do anything to earn God's good graces, we still ask the question, what are we going to do to share that love with others, particularly those who are desperate to hear the good news? Knowing what we know about the Greek words for sell and alms, this calling goes beyond an easy handout. Yes, there are emergent needs that need addressed here and today. But the life of a Christian, the life of a disciple, calls us into something deeper. It's not a quick fix. It requires a meaningful connection with others, corresponding relationships that share and with each other's resources and talents, burdens and joys. It calls us to deeply enter into others' lives, creating opportunity to see another's perspective from their shoes. This calling of readiness isn't for the faint of heart or an armchair Christian. This calling invites us to wrestle with the question, how will we choose to live faithful lives in response to this free gift of grace? Because our actions won't earn it, but our neighbors do need it. There's different ways we can go. We can go along cheaply taking advantage of God's goodness, or we can intentionally do it to God's glory. Again, God's love and grace is there regardless, but God invites us to imagine the dream God has given to us through Jesus Christ. This call invites us into the hard issues that are deeply ingrained, that deeply infect our culture and society today. Again, things that quick fixes will not resolve. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, theologian and pastor of Germany during the rise of the Nazi regime, sums it up perfectly. We are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself. We are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into that wheel itself. This calling of discipleship invites us to ready ourselves to overturn systems of hate, of violence, and abuse. It involves self-examination, exploration of learning and owning white privilege. It involves experiencing the bleeding heart with those whose loved ones were gunned down, and then rallying to end the ownership of weapons and accessories whose sole purpose is to pile up high body counts. It involves putting aside one's comforts to truly enter into, to listen to those on the edge of our society. It involves work. Work that will bless you and me. Work that will change hearts to see as God sees. As we participate in God's dream for every single person. Be dressed. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit, Jesus says. Now, to be honest with you, brothers and sisters, when I began to study this passage this week, I found it terribly difficult and uncomfortable. Maybe you're experiencing a little bit of that yourself right now. But as I dug in and explored why I was feeling that, I realized a sense of hypocrisy. The question of how am I prepared for the inbreaking of God's dream revealed to me that I'm not quite where I thought I was. Another way to put it, if God were to do an audit on my calendar, that is, how I spend my time, or if God were to audit my bank statement, that is how I spend my money, my walk doesn't always match my talk. I'm not always alert, awake, attentive, hopeful, or focused on God's action that the Spirit invites me into. Sometimes I'm unaware, I'm self-absorbed, and even, frankly, sometimes I just don't want to. My priorities get mixed up from time to time. Perhaps you all can relate. But thanks be to God, my being in a right relationship with God doesn't depend on my actions. God loves me regardless and invites me to continue on that journey for the next opportunity to meet that person in their journey. And when I do, I know from my own experiences, my heart treasures what really matters. Compassion, mercy, peace of mind, justice, and joy. I am served by Christ's good pleasure of experiencing God's dream for humankind. And that, brothers and sisters, is an unfailing treasure. An unfailing treasure that cannot be destroyed, cannot wear out. That treasure is for eternity. There is such a richness in sharing communally with each other in their ups and downs, reciprocating God's love and the possessions entrusted to each, and a connection that is deeper than anything this world can provide. That, my friends, that is God's dream. How will I intentionally live a readied life committed to this beautiful gift? Amen.